Good morning. Just because it's tomorrow. Today is Thursday, December the 31st, the last day of this year. Joining us, kind of our year in review show, we kind of teased it a little bit on Mondays, Mr. Arkley and his someone naughty. Do you see what your bottle says?
No.
Rotate.
Oh.
It's one of those personalized soda.
It's a Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Breakfast of champions.
Well, hopefully killer of colds too, right?
Yeah, let's hope.
Oh, boy. Let's see if we can find something in the... Yeah, I was reading through the new quote book.
Yes.
And a lot of stuff, it's cool, but it doesn't really flow off the tongue.
No, it does not.
No, there's a lot of...
There's nothing easy about those
No.
quotes. They're chunky, and you have to earn them.
But I found one here. Boy, but you know, I can't even pronounce this fellow's name. I looks like Rothschild, but it's not. 1665.
Okay.
Okay. It's a great ability to be able to conceal one's ability.
Isn't that the truth? Let the other person win.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more along the lines of the political season coming up, and everybody's touting what they don't have rather than letting people discover what they do.
Well, that's true. I mean, we've got a whole bunch of that going on, don't we?
Yeah. Well, at least finally we're starting to see some focusing on both sides, having viable candidates remain.
Well, I just hate negativity. I do want an emphasis on a vision.
So at the national level, if we got three significant segments. At the national level, what will 2015 be remembered as?
The rise of Trump.
Specifically him or citizenry?
Well, that's a good question. Because Hillary is mainstream left, and I guess you have Bernie on the far left. And so is his movement of the progressive left worthy of note? Probably it is because of so many of the millennials have plugged into Bernie. So you're right. It's engagement and anger at status quo, probably.
Yeah, it would be really intriguing to see how those tentacles come down to states and come down to locals, or if they do at all.
I think that is a great question, because what we don't see is whether, you know, there are very few swing states. States are now red or blue, and there's really not a lot of in between anymore. And it's probably five or six swing states.
So I wonder if those can be detonated like Reagan did, like a number of other presidents have done, and kind of reshuffle the cards a little bit.
Well, you and I sure hope so, because
I mean, it's scary that four or five states, that's now controlling. It's not the Electoral College. It's not the Senate. It's now four states.
Yeah, it's
holy Toledo.
Four states, and they're demographically pretty well set. So it's an interesting time.
It's also 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23, final day of this year. Rob Arkley is alongside. We're kind of doing a year in review. So let me throw this one at you as we're still at the federal level real quick with the political stuff. Could somebody who wasn't as well greased as Trump be able to do what he's doing, even at a state level as a governor? And just say, you guys can all disappear. I don't need you. I'm doing what I'm going to do. I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to say what I feel. And we'll just see where the chips fall.
Well, and that's Chris Christie, except he needs donations. But Chris Christie is a no BS, I'm calling you out kind of guy. Above all, what Trump is doing is he is really hurting political correctness and the narrative that has been established. I think that's refreshing to people.
Well, and frustrating the media too, because the things that normally stick aren't.
No, you're right.
And he's just kind of running over the tiger pits.
No, he blows them up, and you watch. Hillary should not get in this sexism fight. On one hand, she wants to use sexism. On the other hand, I think she better be careful. He's quick.
I think he's, I'll say smart. I'm not sure about intelligent. Smart, I think.
Oh, I think he's smart.
Yeah.
And intelligent.
You think he's intelligent also?
I think he's really gifted. He's a hard worker. He's built his brand steadily. It was clear what he was doing.
How long does he last? Does he make it to June? Does he make it to the convention?
Bri.
Does he make it to the White House?
The question is whether he makes it. He makes it to November, much to the chagrin of the Republican establishment.
In the number one chair.
Yeah, I think so. And it's why I'm starting to have real contempt for the Republican Party. And, you know, Paul Ryan, what a discouraging thing that was. That budget, Porculus or whatever it is. I haven't heard it. The Porculus was something else. But this was a really bad thing that he did. He stood for nothing. And I think people are mad.
Where do you see today the independents? Those voting registered as independent. Where's their temperature right now?
I think there is a huge silent vote in favor of Trump. I have a very unscientific census. But what I've been doing is at parties asking. And everyone almost... Old-time Republicans kind of look to the side and say, hate to say it, but I kind of like Trump. And they kind of whisper it.
Yeah, you're hedging.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah. And then you talk to people who heretofore were kind of Obama people. They say, I like Trump. So he's resonating with those of us. I think the key is he'll fight for us. I think we feel unrepresented right now. And I think Trump represents the everyday man, even though he's anything but he really does have the ability to fight the powers that be. He is running as an outsider. So's Ted Cruz and so's Bernie Sanders. I think.
Yeah, but those guys have been in the machine.
I don't think Cruz is in the machine at all. They despise him.
They don't like him, but he's been elected and he's served. I mean, he's a politician.
Yeah. Sanders is clearly part of the machine.
Yeah.
You know.
Are there coattails? Does Trump have coattails?
No. I don't think so yet. But he's going to.
He seems to be blazing a trail. Now, whether or not anybody follows or is able to follow.
Well, they're going to have to. They're going to have to. You can't run away from him as a Republican.
But other non-political folks running for office in the upcoming year. Is he opening the door for others?
Maybe not this cycle, but in the future, yes. I got a call yesterday from someone who said, okay, we're putting together a group to fund the primarying of Paul Ryan. And you go through that district, and he can lose. He can lose. And so you're starting to see outsiders, and that's what the Tea Party is. Tea Party is a bunch of outsiders. Even Bernie Sanders is effectively running as an outsider. And so people are tired of status quo. It's getting worse. It's not getting better. Simple common sense issues aren't being addressed. I mean, look at this Muslim issue. My gosh. Well, you can criticize the identifying Muslims all you want, but this axiom is true. Not all Muslims are terrorists, but heretofore all terrorists are Muslims. And so...
Well, in the tax code, I mean, that's another simple one to address that hasn't been.
Boy, it'd be nice. And
see, I go right for the heart of the accountant. He checked off what, the three count?
No, I'm a recovering CPA. Oh, attorney. Yeah. Okay. But no, it's a shame the amount of our business model that is attributable to taxes. I'm signing a document. Well, I actually signed it today for a year-end transaction on buying a business. Well, why'd I do it today and not tomorrow? Because of taxes. And why'd they do it today and not tomorrow? Because of taxes. And so taxes ought not drive the business cycle the way they do.
Or keep businesses in country or out of country.
Really big deal. That's, really big deal.
There's a bunch of those ripples.
And that's so easy to fix.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rob Barkley. It's time for your daily stretch. Rob, looking at the state, what do we see at the state level that 2015 will be remembered as? The bullet train concept thing, it was there on the first of the year. That kind of seemed to fizzle out. What are we seeing other than drought?
Well, drought is dominating. I guess if I were to identify the state, it's the first year that you're seeing mainline Democrats and the public employee unions diverge.
Who's pulling away from whom?
The mainline Democrats are seeing that the pension program in California is not just broke, it's shattered. There are finally no excuses. The unions are overpaid and overpromised, and something has to be done about it. No matter how liberal you are, you've got a fiscal liability out there that has to be dealt with. And so what you're seeing is for the first time, the chokehold of the mainline of the unions is being questioned, and if it's imperiled.
So recognition of, but is there action associated with this recognition?
Buddy, it's like a lighting a lighter. It's click, click, flame. And that's what's happening is you can see Steve Glazier got elected to the state Senate. Now, they threw everything they had at him. It was impressive what they did to him. Now, whether they'll take him out next time, but... what you see is the chokehold is being threatened dramatically. So I think that's positive for the state.
Across all levels? I mean, is it the upper education system? I mean, we had the Humboldt faculty was talking about doing a work stoppage or a strike?
They can do anything they want. The state universities were so heading away from college education the way it's been delivered. I just don't see it sustaining itself. So the university professors ought to enjoy their bargaining power while they've got some. And let me just put it simply. You go on the internet, probably in the future for $100, you can be taught by the world's expert on quantum physics, or pick a topic, I don't care.
I don't go into the queues.
Okay. But then you can be taught at Humboldt State. Gee, who do I want to spend my money with? Cheaper, better.
So the University of Phoenix and some of these online, that's...
I don't think it's even...
The movement?
Phoenix is a for-profit...
yeah, it's a private entity.
Yeah, but I don't think that's where it's delivered. I think it's delivered through Stanford. I think Stanford delivers the best professors. I think in X, IT, some part of IT, mini part. But I don't think you can broad-based deliver education the way it is. Kids are going to learn how to code at a very young age. They're going to learn to adapt and deal with our society as it's evolving. I just don't see where universities are responding.
So as an employer in the future, does a college degree carry any water? Or is it a knowledge-based testing process or interview process that you go through to determine whether or not that individual has what it takes?
The latter. It's knowledge-based. It is so knowledge-based. Now, does a college education matter with accounting? Of course. You have to get your CPA, and there's a process that you go through at this point.
Licensures, yeah.
Yeah. Now, that may change, but they do require X college classes. How they're delivered is a different issue. But I see CR having a much brighter future currently than does Humboldt. I think Humboldt.
Because of the flexibility of the community college system?
Because of the vocational nature of the education they deliver.
And where do you see UCs?
I think they're in trouble, too. I think it's all going to go technology-based unless you want to send your kid away for a four-year education. And then you have to weigh the economics. Is it worth sending my kid? What's UC education? $30,000 a year?
Probably going in, yeah.
And then very few college degrees get you anything, so then you get to go to grad school. So vocation-based training makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, your break-even point on a traditional education.
Oh, boy.
Unless the cultural and the maturation factors in somehow. And obviously it does, but how do you quantify?
You mean where you learn to grow a beard and get drunk?
How?
You can do that in a neighborhood.
Maybe your neighborhood.
I live in Eureka.
I know.
I don't think in it. Obviously, you and I aren't going to solve that issue.
No.
But I don't like the trends. I think the trends are away from Humboldt. I think the trends are towards the entrepreneur. I think the trends are toward the vocation. And a vocation may be coding. It may be this and that.
Do you see vocational schools, pure vocational schools, taken off?
Yes. Yes.
Because they're not part of the mainstream educational model?
Because
because they're providing a product that
they're providing a product we need as a society. We need welders. We need, you know, all these other jobs out there. And they are going to continue. I just don't see it in. We certainly need police. Our police academy at CR. These are providing jobs that we need as a society. I don't see Humboldt doing anything along that direction.
What other trends statewide do you see other than the recognition of retirement plans being in trouble?
There's a terrible Supreme Court case that came down just a few weeks ago that basically stopped the trend is away from development in California. So housing is going to continue its upward rise as we choke off the supply. And the Supreme Court of California really laid open some terrible standards by which housing can be stopped and developments can be stopped, all based on a green theory, which is great if you're already here and you already have a house. I like to provide equal opportunity. This does not provide equal opportunity. It means if you're here first, you're greatly advantaged, and that's something I'm horrified by.
Well, and remodeling isn't necessarily the way to get more housing.
No, remodeling, but if you're going to go into contracting, that's where you go. I don't think you go into development. The model there is easy. They stall you, the opponents stall you, drive up the cost, blah, blah, blah.
So similar to timber harvest plans?
Of course. Same thing.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:43. We'll be back with more from Rob Barkley.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47, final couple minutes of the year. Spending it with Rob Arkley this morning. Rob, locally, what will 2015 be seen as in 5 years?
I think it was a pivotal year on the Bay. There's a lot of the oyster development is meaningfully happening. We've gotten a, I don't know what Rob Holmland's title is, but Eureka has a defined focus and a can-do attitude on A, bringing businesses, and B, creating a vision. So since Nancy Fleming, we really have been kind of a cork at sea. And so I think he's done a good job of focusing us again.
Are things set up?
Yeah.
For the future?
Well, no. They're not completely set up, but there's the process starting where when things want to happen, they will happen quickly now.
So some of the hurdles may be down rather than
we're addressing them now. Yeah. Rather than responding to a need, we're in front of the need.
Does the state still override what the local communities
can do? Well, the Coastal Commission certainly does. But even that, I think
I'm thinking CEQA just in general terms.
CEQA is that lawsuit I talked to you about. It's just barbaric what they did. It's terribly elitist. CEQA is a problem. And once you get the teachers union reeled in, life changes here quickly. That's why I said it's like lighting the lighter. It's going to go, and it's going to change quickly.
The smaller communities that really haven't been able to experience economic growth, the Oryx, Phillipsville's, Miranda's, those kinds of folks, are those communities also going to benefit for what's being set up right now?
At a minor level, I think Eureka will happen. And once Eureka happens, they will naturally evolve.
It's just the rippling, the rising tide.
That's right. Stuff. But that ripple's pretty far out there. I mean, Willow Creek is doing better than, say, an Oryx. Oryx, I don't know how you fix it. It needs so much capital improvement. It's really worn out. And Eureka's not looking as worn out. Willow Creek is not as worn. Arcata, parts look worn out and parts look ready to go.
Well, yeah. So do I, so do you.
But well, concluding, 2015 has been a foundational year for us. Things are improving quickly.
And that's how we ended. Thanks for coming by.
All right, bud. Thank you.
See you tomorrow.